Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
Good morning. This reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4 and verse 15 to 17. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen.
Good morning. Wonderful to be here this morning to share God's word with you. So it's a new year. It's just 10 days into the new year. And I'm sure many of us, we've made some sort of resolution for the new year. Show of hands? No. But I was reading a plan that's Bible in 1 year, 2021, with Nicky Gumbo. That's a new version if you're interested. And for the first day, for the 1st of January, this is what he said. I belong to a squash club, which is also a gym. And each year on the 1st of January, they bring in extra gym equipment. The place is packed out. By about 7th of January, so about 3 days ago, they moved out all the extra equipment. As most people have given up their New Year's resolution, and the club returns to normal. So he gives several things that people sort of were doing in terms of resolution, about getting fit, about losing weight, about reducing drinking, about stop smoking or getting out of debt. And I think when we look at that list, there's nothing wrong with the resolution, but quite often what happens is after a few days, after a week or so, we tend to let all this down. All the resolution that we've made just starts sort of getting less and less important to us, important to our lives. But I was thinking about something else when I was asked to share the message this morning. I was thinking about our new life resolution, not just a new year resolution. Because when we say something about New Year resolution, it's just for this year, right? But I was thinking about something that we as believers, as Christians, that we can put through in our own lives, a new life resolution. And so I've decided to share with you about this new life resolution. And so I've taken Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, and then later on 15 and 17. So Colossians is very rich. As you know, Paul's letters, they are very rich in content, in ways and means that helps us to understand what life is about. And so I will concentrate mostly on verses 15 to 17. But I will start with verses 1 to 4, just as some sort of an introduction on what I'm going to share with you later on. So verses 1 and 2, it says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. And here we can see Colossians, in Colossians, Paul talking to those, to the believers, to those who've come to faith. And says, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not things of earth. In some translation, like the NIV, it will say things like, set your hearts on things, on heavenly things. And then set your mind about things in heaven, not the things of earth. It has to do with, for example, the heart, our heart, about what we like doing. Things that we love, this is what the heart is about. Things that we love, things that's important to us, and things that help us to make decisions. It's also about the mind, things that we think about, things that allow us to reflect on. And so what Paul is saying here is, but since we've been raised to new life with Christ, our aim is to think about heavenly things, not things here on earth, about the realities of heaven, where Christ is now. And he said in verse 3, for you died to this life. As believers, we've died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And then he continues on by saying, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So here we have three things that Paul is said in those four verses. We have the past, that is, before we accepted Christ as being part of our lives. That's when we were thinking about earthly things, things on this earth. We have the present, where we have this new life in Christ as a result of us believing in him. And then we have the future, where we will share in his glory. So we have the past, the present, and the future. So today we are looking at the present, this life here that we have here on earth. Colossians is very interesting in the sense that it explains a lot about what Paul was thinking about this new life in Christ. So if you have the time, just go away today or whenever you can, read through Colossians in one sitting, and you will see how Paul goes through talking about the new life, about setting our sight on realities of heaven, about leaving aside what we used to do here on earth and setting our sights on Christ. And then we go on to the three lets, which is from verses 15 to 17. So we have the three lets, and each of those lets finish with be thankful. Okay? So we have the first one is, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and be thankful. So we have the first let. And when Paul is using let here, that's an English translation, it's sort of something that he introduces to help us to understand that he's trying to make us do something. He's proposing something for us to think about and for us to do. So when he says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, he's urging us, he's suggesting, he's proposing to us that we allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. Now, that word peace is the same word as shalom. And shalom is not just a greeting that the Jewish would use. Shalom in a Jewish sort of environment means a lot more. It means completeness, wholeness. It also means peace, welfare, perfectness, fullness, harmony. So the peace here is not just about absence of war or absence of anything that's pulling us down. It means us being complete, being whole in Christ. And it's also interesting that in the original text, in the Greek text, that word rule has got a very specific understanding. Now, here in this country, I know it's very much interested in things like cricket. There's a test match going on at the moment. Or footy. The footy season is just finished. Now, who makes the final decision within a game of cricket or footy or soccer? It's the umpire, right? So if the umpire says something, that's it, right? Now I know in some of those games you would have a second umpire, the third umpire, and maybe the fourth umpire, but at the end of the day, it's the umpire, the decision is final. So here what Paul is saying is, let that peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Let that peace be the final decision in your heart, in the way in which you do things. And then the second let that we have is about the message of Christ. He says, let the message about Christ in all its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. I won't have time to talk about the thankfulness because that's also part of all three, but I will talk about the let. It says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. In some translation, like the NIV, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In the version I'm using, which is the NLT, it says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Let's unpack this a bit. Message about Christ. I think we have that message. It's all in there. Okay? So what he's saying is, let the message about Christ in all its richness, and that's very rich. I don't believe that in a lifetime we can understand fully everything that's in there. For example, when I was doing research a few years back, I studied 6 chapters of the Gospel, of the 3 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. 6 chapters. It took me 4.5 years. It's about the passion of Christ. That's the richness that we have in this, in the Word of God, the message of Christ. Now, it doesn't finish here. It doesn't just say, let the word of Christ be in you or be with you. It's using the word dwell, right? How much time do you spend in your house, in your home? That's your dwelling. That's where you dwell. That's where you live. That's where you do a lot of things. Personal things. That's where you feed yourself, right? That's where you keep all your belongings. And that's where you rest as well. So what it's saying here is not just have the word of Christ or God's word here, maybe in our lives, just as a second thought. But it's saying here to allow the word of Christ to dwell in you richly, in all its richness, to fill your lives, as the NIT says. And teach and counsel each other, and that's how we can support and help and sort of push one another to do things. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. That is, in all the counsel that, all the wisdom that the Word of God gives to us. And to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So I have something here that someone, when I was doing the research, someone has written. It says, this book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian character. Christ is its grand subject, our good its purpose, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ, and yes, to glory itself for all eternity. So that's about the word of Christ. And now we go on to verse 17, and it says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. From what I can read in here, it's a huge responsibility that we have as believers. And it doesn't say, okay, think about sometimes when you do things or sometimes when you say things, you do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Here it's writing, it's saying, and whatever you do or say. So it's including everything that we do, everything that we say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. We are believers. When we do things, we do things as a representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see that responsibility that we have as believers? It's a huge responsibility that we have. And I think as believers, sometimes we tend to forget this. We tend to just say things or do things according to anything that comes to our mind. But here, that's the third let. It doesn't use exactly the word let here in the translation, But in the Greek context, it has that thinking about let us do it, or let us, whatever we do or say, let us do it as a representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a huge, massive thing for us as believers. And so, having gone through all these, how do we respond to that? And I think when we are looking at all the things that we've read today, in that passage where we have about being raised to new life with Christ, to set our sights on the realities of heaven, about the old one, and now that we have a new life, what we are to do, about us allowing the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, about the message of Christ, and also about whatever we do, that we do it as a representative of our Lord Jesus. I think all of this comes down to this. To what? How can we do all these things? How can we do things and say things as a representative of the Lord Jesus? How can we know about the realities of heaven? I think we need to be serious about this, about the content of what's in there. Just like what it says there, let the message about Christ in all its fullness, in all its richness, lives fully in you. And one of the things that we've been doing in our Connect group, and I would like to have a plug in here for Connect groups, because I think it's been wonderful, especially during the lockdowns, the couple of lockdowns that we've had, and not being able to come back to church. What we've been doing within our Connect group has been to encourage one another to be more serious about the Word of God, to study about the Word of God. Now, last week, Dawn spoke about tree, a special tree, and it went wild on WhatsApp. Pictures of people with that tree. Now, I'm going to use a similar example, because that's the reason why I'm talking about this today, is as a result of what Dawn preached last week. Now, when you look at a picture like this, it's about a whole group or a forest of trees, right? When you look at a forest, you only get a basic idea of what the tree is about the forest. You can see some trees in there, you can see some shapes, but it's a big picture of what it is. And this is what you achieve when you read the Bible, when you go on reading. So the first thing, for example, when you look at text like what we have today, is you read it several times to get the big picture of what that text is about. You look at the people involved in there. You look at some of the words, like what I've been talking about, the three lets, the three thankfulness, heavenly things, for example. And words like whatever you do or say, things like giving thanks to God. So you look at words like this. You observe what the text is about. And so you get a big picture of what God is asking us to do. So this is about reading the Bible. And what also happens is we are encouraged to keep on reading the Bible. And there are several plans with a new version where you can read the whole Bible in a year. This gives you an overall picture of what the Bible is all about. Now, as you approach the forest, you see a tree. So you see a bit more details about the tree, isn't it? You see the branches. You can see the color a bit clearer. You can see the leaves there. You can see some of the marks, and sometimes if you go a bit closer, you might even see some of the birds landing onto those trees. So you get to see that a bit closer. It's the same thing when we study God's Word. When we pay attention and we look at the details, for example, in this text that we've looked at, we can look at, for example, who were the Colossians? What was their background? What were they doing in those days? How were they living their lives? Why is it that Paul was writing all these things about, for example, new life? About them arguing about sort of philosophies and all these. We can look at some of the things, for example, some of the words, for example, when I was talking about rule, I went in and looked at some of the Greek texts and see what does that word rule mean in those days. Because when we translate it from Greek to English, sometimes we lose some of the deeper meaning of what the writer or the author intended to say. And so we do some more digging, deeper digging. And a lot of times what happens is, while we are digging, we can see the reason why the author has written those things in the letter or in the gospel. And he gives us a better, a clearer understanding of what the message is all about. So studying the Bible is like coming closer to the tree where we see more details, where we understand a lot more about what the Word of God is all about. The third thing that I think Dawn last week spoke about, when you go closer, especially after it's just rained, you go closer, you can smell the eucalyptus, right? And if you take one of those leaves and you look closer, you can see even those veins inside the leaves. That's meditation. Now, I know a lot of times meditation, especially few years back, when Zen meditation sort of started becoming quite popular, it was about the Eastern way of meditation. That is, you blank your mind, and you have, like in some, I think in Hinduism, you have a mantra going inside your head. Doesn't make sense, you just keep it going into your head. This is not Christian meditation. Christian meditation is all about filling your minds with the Word of God. Now, one of the things that I did for this passage was to look at one verse that represents the whole passage. One verse that helps me to bring all of this together. And that verse is about letting the Word, the message about Christ in all its richness, fill your lives. Because the heavenly things, all the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts and all this ties down to this. Because if I don't know what's in there, there's no way I will know about heavenly things. So that particular verse I effectively carried it in my mind for about a week to allow God to speak to me through that verse. And maybe I might have told some of you, I've been sort of involved with the YouVersion for the past 3 years and a bit now as support to help people to make better use of the YouVersion. Now, a few years back, when I got this Bible, as I think it was part of my ordination way back in Western Australia, a Bible like this would have cost you about $50-$60. Right? Who hasn't got a phone in here? Yeah? Everyone's got a phone. Right? The YouVersion Bible, the Holy Bible, the YouVersion, is an app that you can have, whether you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you get it freely. And that YouVersion has got 2,000 plus Bible version in 1,500 languages. So if you speak different languages, most probably there will be a version of the Bible in there. So far we've had 460 million downloads of that app. And a few hundred of us, we provide sort of support to that. The message about Christ, God's word, is now widely available to each one of us. We can carry it in our pocket, everywhere we go, anywhere we go, that Bible will be available to you. Now, if, for example, you go to somewhere where you cannot have the internet available, before you go, you can download that version, the Bible version, onto your phone, and you will be able to use it. As believers, as I was sharing with you, for us to know what this new life is, we need to have that message about Christ fill our lives. We need to have this right there at the back of our minds, carried with us right through. And how can we do it? It's only through us going through this, reading it, studying it, meditating on it. It's widely available. You might say, well, I don't have a phone that can have the app. In fact, all the phones like iPhone 3 or iPhone 4 cannot support that because it's too old. But you will have a computer, right? A laptop, a desktop. You just go to Bible.com. You will have access to all these. Not only do you have Bible versions in there, but you have devotions. Every day, you can go on there, right, and have some sort of, like a story, someone will share a 2 or 3 minute devotion that helps us to start the day. Or you can have one of the reading plans that helps you every day to read certain passages of the Bible. You want to read the Bible in the whole year, you've got, don't know, about 20, 25 plans for you to do that. You want to read something about faith? You've got hundreds of plans that you can go through. If you don't know how it goes, I'm happy to help you with the YouVersion. But I would encourage you, as a new life resolution, to be serious about the Word of God, the message of Christ. As a New Year's resolution, let's make a new life resolution that we will be serious about the Word of God, about studying it, about reading it, about meditating on it. Because that's the only way that we will know what's in the heart of God for each one of us. Because when we study it, when we meditate on it, God speaks to us. I can guarantee you that. I've been doing it personally for 40 odd years now. And I'm still learning things from it. God is still using that to provide me with how to respond to certain things in life. We've just gone, or we're still going through the pandemic. There's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of unknown. Things changes practically every day. We can be walking okay in the morning and suddenly in the evening there's a lockdown. We don't know what's going to happen. Right? How can we live without this, without trusting God? How do we know how whether we can trust God or not if we don't know what's in there? What's in the heart of God? What is it that He wants us as believers, what He wants us to do? How He wants us to live this new life that He's given to us. Let's be serious about the message of Christ. We've heard a lot about Christ over the past year or so, about who He is. Let's know about Him now. Not just about, we can have a lot of information. Just Google Jesus Christ and you will see the millions of sort of results that you can get. So we can know a lot about Jesus Christ, but what is required is for us to know Him in a personal way. And to know Him, we need to spend time with Him, spend time with His Word. So let's make knowing the message of Christ in all its richness as a new life resolution. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's really wonderful that You've given Your words to us, Your message of truth, of hope, of grace, of peace. You've given it all to us so freely. Help us, Lord, to treasure it, to make sure that, Lord, we understand what's in Your heart for each one of us. Let us come to Your Word, Lord, to allow You to open up, through Your Spirit, open up Your words and allow us to just dwell in You. And Lord, as a new life resolution, we just commit ourselves as a church, as a gathering of Your people. We just commit ourselves, Lord, to understand Your words, to dig deep into Your words, and to allow Your words to just rule in our hearts so that the decisions that we make, the thoughts that we have in our minds, the things that we carry with us right through the day, these will all come from You. Help us, Lord, to just keep thinking about this, to just go and dig for the treasure that You have in Your words. And we pray that Your Spirit will guide us, will lead us, will direct us as we go through this life with Your words in our minds. We thank You, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.